Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
This is Abe Thompson with the New Cyber Frontier, here from an undisclosed location in Colorado Springs. Today's podcast. We have a real treat today, ladies and gentlemen. We have the Vice President of the Space ISAC here in Colorado Springs. Obviously, very, very biased and proud. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Abe. I'm glad to be here.
It is a delight. So Aaron Miller, quite a luminary in this area. I can't remember too many award ceremonies where you haven't gotten some award here in town. You've worked at the National Cybersecurity Center, of course, but would you give us a sense for your journey, how you kind of ended up here and then in this very exciting, brave new world of space?
Yeah, well, I've been working in space for a little while. Prior to that, though, I was working strictly technology transfer, just any discipline and research area at the Air Force Academy, where they were looking to transfer technology. So I got a lot of exposure to the different opportunities to bring together the public-private sector in that role. Did that for about 7 years. And we really had a goal, actually, to establish Colorado Springs as a public-private partnership. So it's pretty amazing that now we're doing that on a global scale out of Colorado Springs.
Cool.
but along the way to get here, I did launch a nonprofit. It's based out of Catalyst Campus. Mm-hmm. And we were doing rapid technology development with the small businesses and startups really nationwide to bring them to partner with the U.S. Space Force and U.S. Space Command. And that rapid collaboration allowed for them to get outside of the normal acquisition process. So I met a lot of small businesses that were involved in space when we launched the Space Accelerator down there at that campus. And now working on a global scale, looking forward to collaborating with small businesses and startups that are in that same realm. So it's been a great journey, and I feel like each step has built on the one prior.
Sure. Now, specifically in technology, obviously you got very involved in the cybersecurity piece of technology. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been studying cybersecurity since 2009. Mm-hmm. I had a mentor back in 2009 that was showing me some of the ropes, Security Plus, CISSP, some basic stuff.
Sure.
And then as I started interacting with different businesses, in particular those startups and smaller businesses, I recognize that that is a huge gap for them.
Yeah.
Another project that I was working was with CyberWorks at the Air mm-hmm. Force. So they're at the Air Force Academy, but they are an Air Force program.
Yeah.
And CyberWorks' main goal is to bring the Air Force programs access to cybersecurity that's designed into their programs.
Yeah.
So that was great exposure for me as well to learn that every single program, no matter what you're doing, needs cybersecurity designed in. And even the smallest thing that we don't even think of, like our daily activities, need to have cybersecurity built into them.
Well, and the way that's
part of life.
Yeah, the way that CyberWorks synergy happens is kind of, well, not kind of, but is revolutionary. Another thing that I'm definitely very proud of our city for. And so neat that you've had a chance to be a part of that.
Yeah, we really built it from the ground up.
Yeah.
That one too. I mean, it seems like everything is new, but this stuff has been in the making for 5 to 10 years.
Sure.
It takes a lot of work to lay the foundation.
Yeah, it does. And I can appreciate that, having been, sitting there in the early 90s, working with the National Security Agency and then the FBI and others trying to establish, the sort of the legal ramifications and the crime side of cyber. And so We didn't even call it cyber back then. I don't know if the names have changed forever since then. So yeah, a lot of revolutionary things have happened. Let's take, since we're just about at the 5-minute mark, a quick break for our sponsor.
Land, sea, air, space, cyber. It's a domain. It's a place. It's a location. We've got to learn to operate there. You've got an awful lot of energy, entrepreneurial, technological, educational energy, not just in government, but in the private sector, in organizations like NCC, that are going out there, creating alliances, creating connective tissue between different elements of our society as we all learn how to deal with this new domain.
And we're back with the new Cyber Frontier with the Vice President of the Space ISAC at the National Cybersecurity Center, Aaron Miller. Great to have you with us, Aaron. We were kind of talking about your journey and your interface with cybersecurity, and it sounds like, too, you did a good job of kind of highlighting the fact you had mentors along the way. What has that meant to you in this journey so far?
Oh, a ton. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Yeah. Lots of people who've spent decades of their time invested into learning their specifics of their career field.
Yeah.
From across the board, from starting companies, acquiring companies, to running large programs, to deeply understanding cybersecurity and cybersecurity of space.
Sure.
So mentors have come from all places. Also have a mentor who's been part of political appointee type roles. So she is very well versed in the political dynamics of our world. So
yeah, and
lots
politics,
of insights from her.
Politics, I'm sure, has a lot to do with it. And I know you're in that position where you've got White House attention, and you've got, grants and other monies that are going to be flowing in and through the work that the ISAC's doing. So that's very exciting. So, in addition to some of those great things, CyberWorks and everything else, the elephant in the room is the ISAC. What is an ISAC?
ISAC is Information Sharing and Analysis Center. Space ISAC is not the only one.
Right.
It's the only space-dedicated ISAC. There are about 30 or so ISACs, and there's also plenty of ISAOs, Information
Sure.
Sharing and Analysis Organizations.
Sure.
And they've been in existence since 1998. Mm-hmm. There was a presidential directive that came out acknowledging the need to protect our critical infrastructures and bringing together the sectors, the specific critical infrastructure sectors. So that's where we got the finance ISAC,
right.
IT ISAC, aviation, auto, and we've just been building on that ever since. I believe there's also a water ISAO or ISAC, maritime ISAC.
Yep.
Anything you can think of that you feel like your life really needs protection for that particular thing. We all need water. We
sure.
all need access to transportation, everything like that. There's an ISAC for it.
And this idea of needing an ISAC really kind of goes back to the a couple different things, allowing for government and commercial interface, I would imagine, also allowing for sharing of information while protecting fiduciary and intellectual property responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Cybersecurity Information Security Act was passed to help the private sector feel comfortable and legally be allowed to convene in this manner and share their cybersecurity threats to their sector without being accused of antitrust violations and things of that nature.
Good.
And then, as you're pointing out, the public-private component of this is the government. So you acknowledged the White House earlier. The White House actually puts resources towards a number of ISACs.
Sure.
And what that means is, in most cases, they have a sector-specific agency that that particular ISAC coordinates with.
Okay.
So in the case of space, we're still in the early days, but we have a lot of support. The White House announced the need for a space ISAC. However, they do not fund it.
Sure.
The private sector responded to their announcement for the need.
Good.
And now we've been pulling together the private sector since then. So the government's not actually a member of the ISAC. It's a partnership.
Yet, or is it something that it's designed for them to kind of be an outside entity?
They're designed to be a partner, so public-private partnership.
Gotcha.
And there are ISACs where there is a model for the government to join as a member.
Sure.
But that's not in our current plan.
Sure.
I mean, maybe somewhere way down the road, then things change.
Yeah.
But right now, that's not the plan.
So then, when you talk about a specific agency, would that mean maybe NASA will play predominantly, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. The key agencies that are really interested in sharing threat intelligence into the space ISAC so that the private sector and our entire global space economy is aware of those threats are NASA, I believe NRO will get involved, and then U.S. Space Force will also get involved. So there's a lot of interest from, and DHS, of course because DHS actually organizes a lot of the collaboration with the ISACs.
Sure. Now, we talk about Space Force, and you know, obviously, we're excited about that prospect here in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. Can we presume? I know it's one of those kind of loaded questions, but can we presume and hope that because the ISAC has gotten going here and because the interim work is being done here, do you think there's a good chance we'll you know get to keep Space Force permanently, or at least near term? What do you think?
So Space Force, because it's a force, then it is, you know, we had 86 graduates from the Air Force Academy who are entering into the Space Force.
So cool.
And there will be installations or whatever they might be
units
called
or
across
whatever. Yeah.
the
yeah.
entire nation. And Space Force will be headquartered, you know, just like the Department of the Air Force is headquartered in DC. So I believe that to be the case for the Space Force as well.
But
however,
as far as
a lot
the command...
of the resources and assets will be here.
Cool.
And if we are bringing together the commercial sector in a physical environment at the National Cybersecurity Center, where currently the Space ISAC is co-located.
Sure.
So the headquarters for Space ISAC and NCC are both co-located on you know, just down the road from University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of potential there to be able to do in-person convening, build out a watch center capability, maybe
Excellent.
Vulnerability lab capability. There's a ton of potential.
Sure.
The building that we have access to through the contributions of University of Colorado is huge. So
the
potential's unlimited. The convening of the commercial sector is not just an in-person thing, though. We'll be convening virtually on a regular basis. You know, the threat intel sharing capability that we're offering to the space community, you can do that from anywhere.
Sure.
So we're reducing the silos of the communications of those threats that exist today, because most of them happen, you know, behind closed doors. And this will be a high trust environment that's hosted virtually that, you know, allows for a lot of rapid collaboration.
Yeah. And that was the whole, you know, the whole hope and the whole point was to break those silos down. And I think you guys are doing revolutionary work in that regard. You know, and, you know, obviously being biased, but hopefully we do get the Space Command here, but, the other piece of that is it, and I don't know how many of our listeners are actually aware, just Colorado specific, but just something of interest. The amount of space work done in the corridor between Pueblo and Boulder, Fort Collins, even all the way through Colorado, is enormous. Would you characterize that? Would you characterize that as probably one of the higher concentration areas in the United States? Space wise.
Oh, geez. Well, if we had Jay Lindell here with us,
yeah, exactly.
I'm sure he'd say
yes. Yes, exactly. He's our state champion for that. But it just seems to make sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Well, I can tell you that the number of companies that have engaged us to become members from outside of Colorado is enormous.
Wow. And that's good, too.
But the amount of companies that I know of that are in Colorado that are engaging us and that I talk to on a regular basis is also enormous.
Sure.
I think you're probably right, even though I don't have the statistics on the number of space companies in Colorado.
I say bring them all.
We have a large number of commercial space companies, not just defense.
Yeah, absolutely. SpaceX and whatnot, I know, does some work here in Colorado. So in a minute, we'll take another quick break. But where I wanted to kind of go next was maybe a description of sort of how the day-to-day might operate once you guys are going at full steam in the ISAC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's do that now. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
This is Abe Thompson again with the new Cyber Frontier here with Aaron Miller, the Vice President of the Space ISAC at the National Cybersecurity Center here in Colorado Springs. So Aaron, once this thing is full up and running and you've kind of built out some of that space, physical space, for space, get it? Nice pun. Once you've kind of built that out, what types of things are we going to see happening there?
Yeah, so right now we're targeting our initial operating capability being available in summer of 2020.
Exciting.
So we're just a few months away from that.
Yeah.
And what that initially looks like, that capability will be three things. We'll have the threat intel sharing capability, which headquartered in Colorado Springs, but like I said, that sharing happens across the globe,
right?
And it's in a virtual environment, so we'll have access to threat intel that now companies can actually generate trend reports.
Perfect.
And they can recognize what's coming out of the analysis of this intel to, you know, make strategic decisions about how they're going to start protecting their company and protecting the space sector.
Great.
We'll also be able to convene on a regular basis to have workshops, webinars, and discussions about the issues in the facing the space sector. Our upcoming goals are to release a webinar series. Mm-hmm. So not just because of the current state of the world and how none of us are traveling right now, but because the Space ISAC intends to have regular offerings of webinars on hot topics that will probably translate into communities of interest for the Space ISAC.
Yeah.
So as our members join after May 1st, when general membership opens, members will be joining and the communities will start to emerge as a grassroots type effort. So we'll see things like the supply chain and addressing those different components and hardware and things that are coming together through second and third tier providers being addressed as a community of interest.
Sure.
We'll also see special areas like blockchain becoming a community of interest. And I anticipate that different types of companies that are part of the mission set will start to group up. Like we'll have a lot of small businesses. We'll have a lot of companies that are involved in launch.
Yeah.
A lot of SATCOM companies. So as they start to group up together and form communities of interest, then there'll be a natural emergence of new recommendations on possibly policy or standards, things of that nature that will come out of the space sector through the Space ISAC.
Well, and in cybersecurity education, one of the things that we highlighted at SecureSet was ensuring that our students, eventual graduates and professionals, knew where to go to get and build products that would be relevant to their particular segment of the industry. And you know, for all the global listeners out there, this is just another example of a great way to help address products and resources that might be available to you. Is this something that, so then small companies can buy a membership and then be a recipient of some of the products that flow through the ISAC? Is that eventually the model?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, typically ISACs offer things like benchmarking, obviously the Intel reports, mm-hmm. Training. So all of that will be available to our members.
Good, good, excellent. And so what does it look like now in terms of membership? Is that door open? Are you building members every day? How does that look right now?
We're getting inquiries right now because we have announced pre-registration is open.
Oh, good, good, okay.
And after May 1st, then general membership will be open. Okay. And that means anyone can request more information about membership, and then we start putting them through the vetting process.
Sure.
So that is part of our initial operating capability, that we have a vetting process to join the trusted membership group.
Sure.
I have to emphasize the trust, because if you're going to build resilience and you're going to have access to intelligence, then the first thing you have to have is trust.
Absolutely.
So all members will be vetted. And since we're operating on a global scale, then we want every member to know that they have other members' best interests in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you wanted to point people toward this pre-registration, what type of information can we put out to you know, get those folks looking at you now?
You can just go to the Space ISAC website. It's s-isac.org, and you can see there's a place to sign up for our newsletter and to contact us about more information about membership.
Okay.
And there is a whole page on there about membership. We've acknowledged that small businesses aren't going to be able to afford the large business rates.
Sure.
So if you are a small business and you're listening, just inquire with us directly and we'll get you what the small business rate is. And we even have the ability to form small business consortiums so that you can partner with your other small business colleagues and join up in that manner.
Yeah, yeah. So, Aaron, as you kind of look back to the, you know, institution, and then as you're you know, forging toward that IOC, what do you think was the most pivotal event or factor that really, you know, got this to go? What was the best selling point? What happened? You know, what's the history there?
I would say the best thing that's happened is the response from the private sector after the White House announced this.
Great.
So as soon as the National Cybersecurity Center took on the role of being the executive operational administrative function for Space ISAC, we started receiving inquiries and having conversations with corporations and FFRDCs and university affiliated research centers, as well as universities, to join up as founding members of the ISAC.
Sure.
We now have 13 of them.
Wow.
So that response has been fantastic.
Yeah.
To see that it is such a priority to have this critical infrastructure of space protected. And these 13 founding members are key players in the industry. And we're even planning on adding more at the founding level, because that's a permanent board seat, and we want to have strong representation across the entire space mission.
Sure. Now, you talked about how sort of the government isn't necessarily a member, but their partner. Do you have other sort of political figures, though, that maybe sit in an advisory capacity? Who are some of those folks?
We do not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
The government has no control whatsoever over the space sector, private space sector.
Yeah, sure.
Except in the ISAC environment. However, of course, we have a lot of members who hold government contracts.
Okay. Sure.
Domestically and internationally, it's not just a U.S. focus here. So, across the globe, then we will have ESA, the European Space Agency, will eventually get involved in Space ISAC. Probably JAXA from Japan.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of international players that serve in a government capacity that may get involved with Space ISAC in a partnership.
Yeah, just the relevant, you know, benefits to all those folks. And I'd ask the question because I know previously our governor in Colorado, Hickenlooper, had been very involved in cybersecurity and taken a special interest in us. And so I just kind of wondered if it was receiving sort of the same support and welcome from sort of political leaders?
Oh, yeah. Well, in terms of support, there's, I mean, unending amount of support from state of Colorado to be able to build out the capacities needed in our state for cybersecurity for space, especially now that City of Colorado Springs actually declared that as our specialty area, security for space.
Yeah.
So loads of support.
Good.
Don't want to underestimate that at all. They're just not sitting in an advisory role. And that's because the private sector really has to own this. And then we get support from the public sector.
Well, and isn't that what
it's
we
a collaboration? Yeah.
And that's what we want in America anyway. We want the private sector to lead and kind of solve some of the nation's problems. You know, we don't want everything in the hands of the government. And so it's just good to see this forum for that to occur. How would you kind of characterize, you talked about the different levels of membership. How would you kind of characterize the cost as compared to, sort of the baseline and bottom line P&Ls of some of these companies? Is it an enormous expense but worth it? Is it a reasonable expense? I mean, what does it kind of look like, just so people can begin to understand what they have to prepare for?
Well, cybersecurity is worth the expense.
Of course, yeah.
Right? The information sharing that needs to take place so that you're not, you as a company are not operating in a siloed environment.
Sure.
And you know what other people know about the threats to your sector that you operate in, I would say that's worth the price. The cost that we're talking about here for membership for a small business, then it's more flexible and designed to not prevent them from not participating, because it's not a pay to play. It is a, we want everyone to be able to participate, and we want to find a financial model that sustains the ISAC, but also allows for the entire space sector to get involved.
Awesome.
And then for medium-sized businesses, they are probably going to join at the silver or gold membership, which is $10,000 and $25,000, I believe. And then we go up to $50,000 for a platinum membership. So you can have a leadership role at all levels. Really the difference between the levels at this stage is the number of people that you plan to bring to the threat intel sharing environment. So the more people that you want, the larger your corporation is or your entity is. And the more interest you have from your analysts and your security professionals to have a seat in the intel sharing environment, then the more money you have to pay for membership, essentially.
Now, that brings up this other question, this other thought. What are they getting in terms of the workforce inside of the ISAC? What does the workforce look like in terms of skills? And, you know, if there are people out there that are thinking career change or a way they can contribute, what types of things build up the ISAC team at its full IOC?
Well, at IOC, then, I would say the networking potential within the space ISAC is
through the roof.
It's not what it will be at FOC,
but
it's still quite optimal. Coming to our security summit that we'll have in DC, and being able to sit in the room with people who walked across the street from the White House to get there, people who are leaders and on the forefront of proliferated LEO constellations and 5G, those players, as well as companies who have been in the industry for a long time, who are creating disposable rockets, things of that nature. The different types of companies that you'll have exposure to from a networking capacity is quite optimal. But then if you think about it as more of a technical exchange type environment, then you're not there for the networking, although that is a byproduct of it. You're going to be exposed to conversations that need to be happening in an international environment about the threats to space. And so they will be technical discussions that get into the details of how to protect your systems.
Aaron, is there a great way for folks, I mean, you talked about the newsletter, What other ways can people plug in to stay abreast of the latest and greatest for the ISAC?
Well, I would say tune into our webinars that will be available in the latter half of 2020.
Okay.
Watch for advertisements for our events. The Security Summit that's going to happen in DC will be a big annual members meeting, as well as our first Security Summit.
Okay.
Just tracking our publications that we will make available on our website as well. So our members in partnership with the Space ISAC will be regularly publishing white papers, op-eds, and other consumable products.
Will there be a call for papers or things of that nature? Is this something you'll more specifically assign to folks?
So really, we want to give members the first opportunity to showcase their perspectives
and
the topics that they think are the highest priority right now. I mentioned 5G, and I'm sure that will continue to be a topic, as well as supply chain issues. So I see a lot of opportunity also to bring in the public sector into some of those discussions, like U.S. Space Force, as well as NASA, and continue that public-private partnership through our white papers, op-eds, and webinars.
Well, Erin, this is just, it's clearly such a phenomenally orchestrated principle, idea, and then actually bringing this to reality. I just have to say congratulations, first of all. Very excited for you, very excited for our city, and for our, you know, for the globe, really, in terms of the impact I know that you guys are gonna have.
Thank you, and
definitely just want to thank you for the time and coming on our show.
Yeah, absolutely, Abe. It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. We will hopefully continue this conversation. I think you'll definitely see Erin again here on the new Cyber Frontier. But my name is Abe Thompson, signing out, and good day.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert, just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.